Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Love the night? Reach for Zen After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zen's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers. Available while supplies last. Zen After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hi everyone, it's Kendall.
And Josh from Mile Higher Media.
And as most of you guys know, last September we launched our foundation, the Higher Hope Foundation. And honestly, it's been pleasantly surprising how much we have been able to do in our first year, thanks to all of you. The amount of grants that we have been able to offer to victims, families of victims, as well as similar-minded nonprofits in the advocacy space. It's just been an amazing first year.
Yeah, we just wanted to thank you so much for all of your support out there, whether you've given a donation, whether you've purchased merch, which again, all merchandise at milehighmerch.com, 100% of proceeds goes to the Higher Hope Foundation. So that's been absolutely huge for the foundation since we've made that change. But also just by viewing our content, listening to our content, or supporting any of our sponsors, all of that goes into funding the grants that the Higher Hope Foundation is able to give.
And so far in 2025, we've disbursed over $210,000 in grants, scholarships, and projects, and we've also processed over 25 grants.
And right now, we are in our season of giving, and we're only $40,000 shy of reaching our full impact goal. So obviously, we'd love to meet this goal, and we intend to meet this goal. Closing this gap means helping 8 more families or organizations that are still waiting for the help that they deserve.
And so every gift, no matter the size, and by the way, every single cent that you donate goes directly to grants, 100% of that. And every little bit of it makes a huge difference for us and will help people who are still waiting.
And during our season of giving, we're going to be matching every dollar up to $50,000 of donations that are made during this time. And if we reach our goal, we'll also reach our year-end impact goal, which will be huge for the foundation and huge for all of those out there who need help.
Yeah, and it will allow us to start 2026 strong.
You can get involved directly and place a donation over at higherhope.org/donate, or you can start your own fundraiser and get your family, your friends, your coworkers involved over at higherhope.org/get involved.
Thank you and happy holidays.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And welcome back to Mile Higher Podcast. I don't know what number it is.
It is episode 372.
372? Damn.
Yes, ma'am. Kendall is here.
I am here.
We love that.
Uh-huh.
Because Kendall is very pregnant. And
not very, but like pretty pregnant, yeah.
Yes.
Like halfway now.
True. You're only halfway.
Yeah. Do we tell them it's a boy? On this show, I can't remember.
You have not yet.
No.
It's a boy.
Surprise. We're having a little boy.
Yeah.
Hopefully a little mini me is what I'm hoping for.
Well, he's big, so it probably is.
Very excited to have a son.
Me too.
And of course, I love having a daughter as well. The best of both worlds. But yeah, Kendall is here. Mm-hmm. However, it's going to be one of those episodes where she's kind of coming in cold.
Yeah. I have no idea what we're talking about today.
Because we're
commentating.
Yeah. Which I think will work out well for this episode, because the case we're covering today is absolutely insane. And it's a very troubling one, because it's one that I think a lot of people can relate to, the sort of the situation that unfolded to some extent. We're going to be dealing with online dating and the dating apps. And do you really know who you're meeting up with? Are they really who they say they are? What do we know about their background? Because ultimately, you never know. You never know who this person will be. And in this case, unfortunately, a beautiful young woman was murdered by a complete monster whom she met on Tinder. And this case takes place in New Zealand, actually. And it's very interesting going over to another country, especially one like New Zealand, because we really get to see how the investigation process really works down there. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those cases where CCTV actually is like, saves the day.
Oh, love to hear that.
In so many cases here, I know you, Kendall, are always saying like, how come our CCTV is so broken? And mm-hmm. it seems like nobody ever has recordings. Well, New Zealand's on it. They've got cameras absolutely everywhere, especially in the cities. And this really, really helps detectives solve this case very quickly. It's pretty wild. It's insane what happens here. It's very sad. Yeah, this is going to be the case of Grace Mullane and the events that led up to her murder. Grace Emmy Rose Mullane was born on December 2nd, 1996, and she spent her early years in the Brentwood district of Essex. She was the youngest of three. She had two older brothers, Michael and Declan, and they were all very close-knit. Got along great. It seems like overall their family as a whole is just an amazing family. Her parents are David and Jillian, and they're incredibly supportive of their young family. As I said, they're extremely close-knit, and David ran a successful asbestos removal company. Friend of the family, Peter Holloman, said this about David. He's always been very hardworking, very conscientious. The kids all followed that. They all worked very hard. And by the time Grace was 10, David had worked hard enough and had grown his business to the point where they could move into their dream home in the town of Romsden Bell House. With a population of just 730 people, the town was alive with wholesome activity. Imagine the quaintest small village you can, the postman making deliveries, families walking down to the stores on the main street, a community center always bustling with new activities and chances for locals to see and spend time with one another. It's that picturesque, out of a movie type community. The main road is even complete with an old-fashioned sign with the name of the village and a carving of a raven grazing over a field, which is a reference to the town's original name, Ramazdana, Valley of the Ravens. And aside from the quaint and classic vibes of the village, Romsden Bell House is known for being a very wealthy area of Britain. Houses on average cost around $2.3 million, and the house that the Mullanes purchased cost $2.6 million. In a neighborhood of manicured lawns and luxury cars. And it was here that Grace really came into her own. The family had two dogs, Maddie and Benson. Benson was a massive Newfoundland who took a liking to Grace, and soon the dog would become her baby.
Those are the cutest dogs.
Awesome dogs. I love Newfoundlands. A family friend named Claire Bilton said this about the Mullanes. They're a close-knit family, all very caring, a really genuine, down-to-earth, lovely family. And by all accounts of the videos that I watched and interviews, it absolutely seems like these guys are salt of the earth, just amazing human beings. It's absolutely horrible what happens to this poor family. But childhood friends of Grace recalled sleepovers where Grace would make them pancakes before bursting out in a song in the kitchen. Grace's friend Brittany Hawks wrote that Grace wasn't, quote, an ordinary person. Her heart was filled with generosity. You were ambitious, stubborn, a quirky friend, forever making me laugh. For education, Grace attended St. Joseph's Primary School before moving to an all-girls Brentwood Ursuline convent for high school. As a teenager, Grace was described as gregarious, loving music, always attending the V Indie Rock Festival in Essex. She also stayed active, regularly playing in games as a member of the Thurrock Hockey Club. She'd even won an award through the club for training the youth team. Claire Bailey, who's the chaplain at Brentwood Ursuline Academy, said this about Grace. What I remember most about her was her smile. She was always bright and full of energy, and her smile shone. She was a warm and friendly student and was valued among her peers. Her open and bright personality drew people in. So everybody's got amazing things to say about Grace.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Just a lovely, lovely girl who just so much life and personality. But of course, Grace was still a teenager, and so her views on school were not always the best, which, you know, we all go through that phase where we're like, what's the point of school?
Yeah.
But she went to a school where everybody really felt like family. But in her final 2 years, Grace studied English and fine art at St. Thomas More High School, where her talent really showed through. Soon she was showing her work on social media and was even exhibited at the mall galleries in London.
Oh, wow.
Which is very impressive.
That's a big deal.
And as she started to look towards her future, Grace wanted to have a successful and fulfilling career like her father, but she also had a passion to just go out and see the world. So in February 2013, Grace headed off to Iceland with some friends. Looks like an awesome place. And during her final year of high school in 2015, she visited Los Angeles, baby. It's so funny how everybody wants to come to Los Angeles. One of the most disappointing places in the U.S.
I hate it there.
You go there and you're like, well,
it's not all bad.
No, I would see how you'd want to visit there once.
You're not really like city people, though.
It depends on what kind of lifestyle you're looking for.
If you like more city and stuff, yeah,
we're just boring. Place to be.
Yeah.
I love LA.
Yeah, that's not me.
I have fun.
If there's people there, I don't want to be there.
Yeah, same.
Good food. Best Thai restaurant in the world.
They do have good food.
Yeah, the food's banging there.
Better than Thailand.
The food is bomb.
It's always interesting to me when we go overseas that like it's New York, Miami, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like the three places that
for sure
people from across the world want to visit here. Never is Denver mentioned.
Yeah, well, think about it. When we went to France, did we go to like other towns? No, we went to Paris.
True. Which is the like New York City of France.
Yeah.
So
it certainly is.
Thought it was going to be different. It's okay.
What?
Well, you thought Paris was going to be different?
Yeah. Thought it was going to be like less city-like, but I guess I was confused.
It's one of the biggest cities in the world.
Yeah, I've completely spaced that.
It's the city of light.
I thought it was the city of love.
I think they call it that too, but it's also called the city of light.
Mm. Well, Grace went to LA and she had a great time. Also, during her last year of high school, Grace started her first relationship with Matt Gadsden, who would also attend college with Grace at the University of Lincoln. While they were happy together and regularly traveled to London to see the We Will Rock You musical and visit Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, the couple decided to break up after their first year of college. Grace continued to blossom at Lincoln. She went on hockey tours, partied with her classmates, and posted on Twitter about hangovers, missing her dogs, and falling asleep at her desk. And Grace's experience seemed so fun and fulfilling that many of her cousins joined her at Lincoln, creating a stampede, and the extended family remained as close as ever. She's like, this place is so much fun, having the time of my life, and family members like, I want to go there. Then while on break after her first year, Grace spent 3 months at Camp America in Pennsylvania, where she worked as a lifeguard. One of her fellow lifeguards, Sean Kimmerer, said that Grace was such a beautiful and amazing person with so much spirit, she lit up the room. They hung out in town, and Grace made friendship bracelets with some of the children in her camp. She continued making her own art and made it a point to speak to her parents through text or phone calls every single day, which is important to remember later on. Sean said she was always saying how much she missed her mom. If it wasn't I miss my mom, it was I miss my brothers, I miss my dogs. And it was during this time at Camp America that Grace discussed her plans for a future gap year, during which she intended to travel across South America and eventually New Zealand, which she was very excited to see. It's also important to note that around this time, Grace began to experiment with her relationships. While the facts will be distorted later on, Grace did speak openly with her friends that she enjoyed light BDSM and had made accounts on BDSM-centered dating apps. But she always practiced safety in the bedroom and maintained a safe word with her partners, something that would become very important later on, as we'll see. Now, Grace continued to work very hard to save money for her future travels. She temped at her father's business during times when she was off from school and went to Rimini, Italy before finally finishing university. She spent the next few weeks with her parents before embarking on her long anticipated gap year, during which she intended to travel around the world. Her last weeks at home were jam-packed with activities. She cut off her hair for the Little Princess Trust, which provided wigs to children and young people with hair loss. She posted on Twitter, "Can someone tell me how to pack for a year away, please?" I could see how that'd be tough.
Yeah, where would you even start, man?
Grace then provided her parents with a copy of her passport and access to her Hotmail, Instagram, and Facebook accounts just in case anything happened. Then on her final night, the family went to the Fox and the Hound pub for a drink. Then the next day on October 26, 2018, Grace departed from Heathrow Airport to her first stop in South America. Here she messaged her family constantly about how much she loved the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu and sent them dozens of photos.
That is stunning. Look at that.
Then on November 20th, she finally arrived in New Zealand, a place that she'd always wanted to see. First, she explored the Bay of Islands and Cape Reyna. She even sent photos of toys and clothes she bought for her niece, Harper. Then on November 29th, she checked into the Base Backpackers Hostel in Auckland, just days away from her birthday on December 2nd. All the while that Grace is traveling, she's reporting back home. She's in constant contact with her mom and her dad and her rest of her family via text and messages and phone calls. And, you know, according to them, they heard from Grace virtually every day because she loved sharing in the, you know, all the adventures she had been on with her family. However, for obvious reasons, one thing she didn't keep her family fully informed on was her romantic life while traveling overseas, primarily using apps like Tinder and Facebook to meet people. However, she did keep her friends updated. On November 30th, she matched with a man named Jesse Shane Kempson. However, they didn't message that day. Instead, she met up with a man she had been talking to on Facebook and went to his apartment in downtown Auckland, where she spent the night. Then in the early morning hours of December 1st, Jesse messaged Grace. Hey, Grace, how are you? Much planned for your weekend? With an upside down smiley face. Grace responded, hey, I'm good. Thank you. It's actually my birthday tomorrow, but I have no plans. Jesse responded, oh shit, happy birthday for tomorrow. Much planned for this evening then? Grace said, haha, thank you, I haven't. Jesse suggested that they grab a drink, to which Grace said, yeah, maybe. He wrote, maybe yes? Grace said that he should convince me, to which he said he would shout the drinks, meaning he would pay and agreed to meet at Sky City at around 6 p.m. At 5:45 p.m. on December 1st, Grace arrived at Sky City, a large entertainment center in Auckland. She took a photo of the massive Christmas tree in the courtyard and sent it to her family. Unfortunately, this would be the last message Grace ever sent to them. Then between 7:15 and 7:30, Grace messaged her friend Amina Ashcroft about the date saying this, I'm on a date with a guy who is a manager of an oil company, and then cocktails all around. He was like, it's my birthday tomorrow. We are getting smashed. The last message she sent to Amina was, I click with him so well, I will let you know what happens tomorrow. However, Grace never made a follow-up text or any others after that.
God.
Over the years, I've had a lot of boots, and a lot of boots just didn't cut it. So much so that I said goodbye to those boots because they hurt my feet. And nothing makes me more angry than my feet hurting after I've been outside all day hoeing the fields. I need a comfortable pair of boots. Okay, I run a small farm in my suburban neighborhood. And, you know, I'm out there, I'm throwing hay down for my big giant rabbits that I'm growing week after week. I'm out there shoveling pounds of doggy dew, and I'm out there plowing 2 acres of land. It's a lot of work, and I need boots that are gonna get me through the day that are for every single job on my to-do list. And that's where Brunt Work Boots has saved the day. They were nice enough to send me a pair of the Marin Work Boots, and my God, my feet will forever thank me for putting these puppies on. They're lightweight, they're waterproof, slip and oil resistant, because you know your boy is clumsy, man. I'm falling all over the place. That's not a joke. I literally fall all the time. Also heat resistant and electrical hazard rated, because you never know when I might step on a live wire. It happens. But Brunt Work Boots are there for every job, for every man in your life. They need a pair of Brunt Work Boots. These things are so amazingly stylish. They're comfortable, they're breathable, and best of all, they're durable. They get the job done. They feel great. At the end of the day, your feet aren't crying and screaming because you were wearing some low quality crap on your feet. They have all sorts of boots too, all different styles. They have steel toe. If you're out there, you know, working construction, you've got any type of blue collar job, you need Brunt Work Boots. And with temps dropping and the holidays coming up, it's time to treat yourself or the hardworking man in your life to real comfort. Skip the throwaway gifts and get him something built to last. Brunt Workwear. Our listeners get $10 off their entire order with code MILEHIGHER at checkout. That's bruntworkwear.com and use code MILEHIGHER. Order today and let them know that you heard it here on the show. The next day, December 2nd, was Grace's 22nd birthday, and her family all reached out via text to wish her a happy birthday. After not receiving a text back, they asked if they could call her, and still, they received no response. So obviously, when it's your child's birthday, you especially expect to hear from them, and they're getting no response.
Especially because she's, you know, very responsive with them and close with her family.
Constantly messaging and texting. And so it became very clear that something's not right.
How terrifying, especially because she's out of the country.
And again, like, she was like at Machu Picchu, I assume there's probably not cell signal. You're probably not sending messages in all places that she's visiting across the world.
Right, right.
But she's in Auckland, right? Yeah. So there's no reason why she shouldn't be able to reach them.
Mm-hmm. Especially on her birthday. God.
At first, her parents, you know, were just wondering if maybe she left her phone or something like that. So they started reaching out to some of her friends and stuff, see if anybody had heard from Grace, but no one had. And let's remind ourselves, New Zealand is one of the safest countries in the world for tourists to visit. It's kind of the last place that you might think something horrible could happen to you. Right?
Yeah, that was my first thought when we started
New Zealand.
This.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the numbers on murders in New Zealand from around like 2005 until now is less than the murders in the United States in a given year. Like, it's extremely, extremely safe. So to even consider something like this could happen is even for New Zealanders, is out of the realm of possibility for many of them.
What years did you say? Like a 15-year?
About 15 years. Yeah, 15 to 20 years.
Yep.
Yeah, they have extremely murder rate and crime rate, really.
For Grace's family, by December 5th, they really had no other choice. They hadn't heard from her at all. And, you know, they at this point are just fearing the worst.
Yeah.
So they filed a missing persons report with the New Zealand police, who immediately began reviewing footage from the over 400,000 CCTV cameras throughout Auckland, many of which have the ability to film 360 degrees. So they can literally like take a given like a bit of footage and then scan across in a 360 degree angle of an entire area.
Which is so awesome, but also a ton of work.
Ton of work.
Really hard to sift through.
Ton of work.
Yeah, it looks like they just have like these cameras on the corner of like every street almost in the cities. Like they have every street is covered by CCTV pretty much.
They or some bet type they of, work.
Yeah, they do. I mean, then
they do.
They're high quality. They can really see everything.
Investigators also, like, while they're trying to go through all of this, like possibly thousands of hours of CCTV footage from across Auckland, they also reviewed Grace's social media activity and discovered that the most recent comment left on one of her Facebook photos was from a man named Jesse Shane Kempson. Investigators also found footage of Jesse meeting with Grace at Sky City at around 5:45 p.m. on December 1st, moments after she had sent the Christmas tree photo to her family. So now they've established, like, this is when she sent the Christmas tree photo, and then just a few minutes later, there's this random new guy who, like, shows up, and it's the same guy who commented on her Facebook.
Yeah, which is, like, a stark comparison to so many cases that we cover here in the U.S., where it's like they have nowhere to start. They take them forever to even figure out who the last person, the person missing was with, let alone being able to find like video footage of the person being missing with the last known person to see her is pretty insane.
Doing this within
quickly.
Like within a day of her first being officially reported missing is very impressive. At around 11:48 a.m. on December 6th, Jesse spoke to two constables and confirmed that he had been with Grace the night of December 1st, but they had gone their separate ways. They provided him with a card to call the station, and so he did call the station shortly after and confirmed both the Facebook comment and that he was with Grace. Then Detective Inspector Scott Beard made his first press conference about Grace's disappearance, just as David Mullane flew into New Zealand. Then, as more security footage of Jesse and Grace's date at Sky City was discovered, two detectives were sent to City Life, the like hotel, long stay hotel that Jesse's living in, to speak with hotel staff at 2:19 p.m. But just as they were talking to employees in the lobby, they noticed Jesse walking in the opposite direction outside. So they ran after him and met him at a store before taking him to Auckland Central Police Station for questioning. Then at around 5:30 p.m., Jesse sat down with Detective Sergeant Ewan Settle to discuss his time with Grace on the night of December 1st.
So this is a clip of this initial discussion between the detective and Mr. Kempson.
I didn't initially know that she was real?
What do you mean?
Well, there's a lot of, so have you heard of catfish?
No.
So catfishing is where someone uses your profile, uses your photos and pretends to be you and then meets, and you're a completely different person.
Right.
And it's happened to a few people I know in Australia. And it's all over the TV. So I thought, you know, if I meet at Sky City, at least I know that there's lots of people around. So if it is someone that it's not, then I can just walk away.
How did the evening sort of come to an end?
There was a hug and a kiss on the cheek, and a thanks, Noel, nice meeting you. And then I said, let me know about tomorrow. And she said, okay. And then she kept walking.
Why is it blurred out?
So that's because some of the footage collected from the interrogation actually was from when Jesse's identity was not public knowledge. For a long time, I think it wasn't until long after, many years later, that his identity was officially revealed. So in that footage, when at the time it was released, it was blurred out.
Interesting. It seems like that's the case with a lot of different cases from overseas.
Yeah.
They hide
the identities. Especially during the course of the case and the court proceedings and stuff, to protect the integrity of the case and the proceedings of it, which is honestly very smart than letting the media catch hold of people's faces and start throwing. Pool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart.
Anyhow, in that clip, Jesse explained to the detective how he matched with Grace in the early morning hours before deciding to meet up at Sky City around 5:45 p.m. which is seen on the CCTV footage. Like, that is true.
And then he kind of, like, the setting up the catfish narrative is very interesting that he does that.
Especially as really a male.
Well, if you expand that clip more, he talks about how he was worried about potentially, like, meeting up with a guy. Like, a guy disguising himself as a girl and that he could be in danger. And you start, it's all very weird and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Until later on when you start kind of seeing what he's kind of like planting here or attempting to plant
here. I see, yeah. You could tell he was setting it up, trying to seem like, I thought I could be in danger situation.
Which is why the detective's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you're a big dude, probably, and you're in the middle of public. It didn't make sense because he's like, that's why I needed to meet up in the middle of public, but I was worried about catfish. And so it's all very bizarre because it's also where he's residing too. It's like you were just walking away from the building that you're in, that you're living in, this hotel you're living in. So it's all very confusing at first. And I think that's intentional, as we'll see, that he's trying to sort of mislead detectives and he's trying to sort of send them off the trail a little bit of like what he was really up to and what really happened.
In the CCTV footage, they meet at 5:45. They take the escalator up to Andy's Burger Bar, which is also in this Sky City Entertainment Center. And then they chatted there for a while, drank some alcoholic beverages. And then Jesse said he walked Grace for a little while until they parted ways and he kissed her on the cheek. He said they could meet up for another date and then they said their goodbyes. Then Jesse explained that he went to a nearby pub where he got absolutely smashed and blacked out. The next thing he remembered was waking up back at his apartment in the City Life complex at around 11 a.m. He specified that time directly as he checked his phone to find that Grace had actually unmatched with him on Tinder. And he wondered what he had done wrong during the date.
So that makes it so that you can't message anymore, right?
Right.
That's the point of unmatching. Okay.
Right. And you don't get a notification from it. You just look and you're just like, oh, that person is no longer there.
Damn, that's kind of heartbreaking.
I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, we'll get into it. So after Jesse walked Detective Settle through his initial account, the detective asked Jesse if he would be willing to provide a DNA sample, to which he responded, yep, 100%. I haven't done anything wrong. Detective Settle then said, it's possible that someone has killed her. We don't know if she's been murdered or not. We don't know yet. She could be found, but she could be dead. And it could be that you've done it.
That's kind of a strange way to say that, but
I think, you know, at this point, they're like reviewing all of this footage and this is the only thing they have. So they're kind of like, and he's also like, Detective Settle in later interviews would say, like, the way Jesse presented himself in that first interview, in the beginning at least, was very professional. I mean, you saw he's in a suit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, part of him wants to be like, I'm believing the confidence of this guy. He seems well-dressed, all that. Mm-hmm. But also it's like, why is he going to such lengths?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that he's letting him know that he's suspicious of him. Well,
I would say that his tone, too, was a little bit more of like, and it could be that you've done it, kind of a little bit, not like pressing him much as it kind of sounds like he was, more so throwing out possibilities, kind of like him planting seeds out there and kind of intentionally making Jesse nervous that he might know more than he's actually leading on as well. So they're kind of going through this dance, so to speak, together. Kind of back, like Jesse's giving off his like his whole story and thinking that he's sort of, you know, eluding the truth. And then the detective's also been picking up like, well, maybe your story's legit, but also maybe this is what happened. So it's kind of this like a bit of a dance that they do for a little while till later on.
So, you know, they do that for a while. And then after saying that, Jesse maintains his innocence. And so Detective Settle, he has to leave the room at this point. Because as he was interviewing Jesse, there was actually a break in the case that diverted his attention so much that Jesse became frantic. He was left alone in the interrogation room for so long that he knocked on the door just to ask another unseen investigator a question.
Yeah, he's dressed up really fancy.
Hey, I just
want
to ask a question. Am I being arrested for something I didn't do?
You haven't been arrested, Mike.
Oh.
I don't know, like,
have I been arrested for something I didn't do?
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of like putting a little bit of the blame on himself. Like,
yeah, I was going to say that's
kind
really
of incriminating
stupid.
Himself a little bit. What he should have just been like, am I being detained? Have I been arrested? Mm-hmm. But to be like, for something that I didn't do, like he threw that in there too, is very suspicious for an investigator to be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when Detective Settle finally returned, he once again asked Jesse what time he had woken up on the morning of December 2nd. And Jesse repeated that he had checked his phone at 11 in the morning when he woke up with no recollection of the prior night after saying goodbye to Grace. Now, the reason Detective Settle asked this was that while he was interrogating Jesse, other investigators had actually discovered additional CCTV footage showing Jesse returning to the elevator at the City Life building with a new suitcase at 8 in the morning.
Oh, shit. There you go.
There he is.
Wow. And he's looking right at the camera.
Yeah.
Damn, he fucking knows.
It's seriously impressive how much of this whole case is captured on security cameras. It's kind of crazy. Like,
imagine
play by
play.
Imagine
how many cases here would be solved if we had good working cameras. It drives me insane. If you are looking for a great holiday gift to give someone, really anyone, look no further than an Aura frame, okay? I have gifted everyone in my family an Aura frame, so much so that I'm kind of sad that this year I don't really have anyone to give an Aura frame to, because everyone, literally everyone in our family has one, and they're from me. Janelle got one from me, all my friends. Ian, maybe you could get one from me this year.
I would love that. Currently, Austin has one from Aura as well.
Oh, yeah, he does. So does he use it? Does he love
it? We do. I put a bunch of photos on it as well.
Oh, that's great. Do you upload photos of Alice?
I've uploaded photos of Alice, of Austin and I smoking cigars together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
Uh-huh. It's fun.
It is the best.
I added photos to mine last night.
There you go. I added photos to yours last night too, Janelle.
Amazing. Can't wait to see them.
It's so awesome. I live for the Aura frame. I showed you guys last week. I'm going to show you again because I'm quite proud of all of the frames that I am a manager of. Invited you. Look at this. Look at this.
How do you have time for all that?
It's kind of my hobby. I really love doing it
love
at
that.
Night.
It's good.
I have one that's just for black and whites in our house. I have one that's just for our home videos. Holly's getting one in her big girl room. She's very excited about it. I just love the Aura frame. So if you're looking for something to get someone, they are going to love an Aura frame. Just get them one. And you can preload it with photos so that when they open their gift, it's already ready to go. They can plug it in. You can even set which one is going to be there when they open it up. And it's really great if you have someone in your life that lives in another state or another country, wherever. My mom lives in another state, and it's really nice to be able to send her photos of my daughter and our family and whatever's going on in our lives here in Colorado. And you can upload unlimited photos and videos before it even ships. It's amazing. I mean, the amount of storage that this thing has, there is no limit. The limit does not exist. And they're here to make your life even easier, you guys, because gift box is included. Every frame comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag. We even have an office frame here, and we have video clips on it from our holiday parties, and you can turn the sound on with a tap. You can do so much just from the top. It's so nice. I mean, we just love it so much. We all do. Probably no one as much as me, but I just love it. And the photos look like real prints because Aura frames have meticulously calibrated high-resolution displays. And unless you look really closely or see photos in transition, you never know that it's a screen. It's easy to set up, you guys. It takes about 2 minutes to set them up. So easy, I can do it. I don't have to ask for Josh's help. They even offer smart photo cropping. They can detect faces and other key details in photos to make sure that nothing gets left out. And one thing I've noticed is they will pair two photos from the same event or something that looks similar. Like they'll put a picture of my dog as a puppy and then him as an adult. It's very smart.
It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. Or they'll do our daughter, like a grown-up one in the bath.
It's great for kids.
A little baby one in the bath. It's so good.
Kids love it because they love to go over to it and it's easy for them to navigate and look at pictures of themselves and family and stuff. Yeah.
And if you have a Leo daughter,
yeah,
then she just wants to look at pictures and videos of herself.
Love that.
For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver mat frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using the promo code MILEHIGHER at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code MILEHIGHER. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames do sell out fast, so order yours now. Just in time for the holidays. And you can support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
So at first, still somehow, even though this clip is timestamped, Jesse tried to maintain the lie, claiming that he was certain he had woken up at 11 in the morning and it was the time on the CCTV that was incorrect.
Oh my God, dude, you're really going to try to do that?
Yeah, that's exactly Detective
Settles. That's so easy to figure out. So, oh my God.
And yeah, like Josh said, Detective Settle did not buy this. And eventually Jesse relented, saying he must have gotten the time wrong.
Yeah, he's like, okay,
I was confused.
I was so fucked up the night before.
Right. So fucked up that I managed to wake up before 8 to leave and then return back at 8.
And I didn't know what time it even was.
Right.
Okay.
To buy a suitcase of all things at 8 in the morning.
Jesus.
Jesse maintained that he had only purchased the suitcase to pack his belongings as he was leaving the City Life unit in the next few days, and that suitcase was still in his apartment if investigators wanted to take a look.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's in there. You guys can go have it. The suitcase is in there. He plays it off as like, it's not a big deal. Like, why are you questioning me about this? I just messed up the times. That maybe the time stamps are wrong on the cameras. He starts kind of reeling a little bit because I love how Detective Settle handles this whole interaction, too. He's just so stoic and just, like, silently stares at him for, like, a good 2 minutes. Like, really? Like, really, you're going to lie to me right now?
You think I'm going to believe this?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I needed a suitcase at 8 a.m. because I got to move my shit out. I've got to get out of this hotel room.
God.
But I was so fucked up last night. I was blacked out drunk.
Yeah.
But I slept, my original story, I slept till 10, 11 a.m.
God, what a fucking idiot.
So, again, while Detective Settle had caught Jesse in this very egregious lie, and the fact that Jesse never mentioned waking up to buy a suitcase in his initial timeline, that wasn't enough for investigators to make an arrest quite yet. Still, at least they had a genuine person of interest, and would spend the next day combing through CCTV footage, searching Jesse's City Life room, and learning more about his backstory.
Because now they know. It seems like he's the last one to be seen with Grace before she just seemingly vanishes. And now this dude is lying to us. Why would this guy be lying to us? Unless he has something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
But as we find out very quickly, Jesse is a professional liar for sure. For one, he never worked in the oil industry at all. He was a complete lie that he told Grace. His two most recent jobs were as a bartender and like a telemarketer. Worked for some marketing company. On top of that, he had been fired from at least one marketing job for simply lying about doing his job. He was tasked with like cold calling, like kind of like sales or something like that, or cold calling people. And to make it appear like he made hundreds of calls, he called his own cell phone number.
Oh my God.
And the company caught him immediately. And they're like, the fuck,
what
dude?
What are you doing? You think you're going to... He thinks he can.
So he thinks he's smart, but he's actually dumb as fuck.
You know, his outfit kind of looked like something he would wear as a bartender too. What he was wearing in the...
could be, yeah. Hmm. We don't know. I don't think we know why he was dressed like that. Or was he going on a date maybe or something? Or
so, no, that day there was no date. I honestly think he did just get dressed up to speak to police.
He had his bartending outfit.
Right. He had his...
He's got his tuxedo on.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Well, police are like, we got to check this guy out. We need to get into that hotel room because we got to know if there's anything in there. We got to get that suitcase, right? So they went in there and searched his room. And while they did find a suitcase that resembled the one in the CCTV footage, there was nothing in it, but it was in the room. However, they brought their luminol testing in, and sure enough,
oh no,
there's blood splatter all over the room, all over the carpet. There was two large concentrations appearing as though they had been molded around a bucket during a cleanup. There's also several footprints that led from large stains to various parts of the room. While blood on the surface of the carpet was only visible through the luminol testing, when police looked underneath, they were able to see with their own eyes that blood stained both the underside of the carpet and the concrete floor beneath.
Oh my God.
So a lot of blood, a little bit of blood spatter on the wall around this area. But it was very obvious that when this occurred, somebody got down on the floor and scrubbed the shit out of the floor and likely smeared it all around too. On top of that, the investigators collected enough CCTV to prove that almost all of Jesse's original story was a complete lie. Surprise, surprise. On December 7th, just as all this information was being collected, Grace's father, David, officially arrived in New Zealand and gave this statement to the media. He said, "Grace is a lovely, outgoing, fun-loving, family-oriented daughter. Grace has never been out of contact for this amount of time and is usually in daily contact with either her mother, myself, or her two brothers. We are all extremely upset, and it is very difficult at this time to fully describe the range of emotions we are all going through." Detective Inspector Scott Beard added that they had grave fears about Grace at this point in the investigation. Then finally, at 2:43 p.m. on December 8th, the police met with Jesse at the Attic Backpackers, telling him they wanted to speak with him again about Grace. At 6:10 p.m., Jesse settled into the interrogation room once again with Detective Settle, where this time the tone was much different. Detective Settle is ready to get some real answers. Because now they're armed with electronic information, including Jesse's Google searches and his whereabouts located through CCTV. Investigators now felt like they had a truly accurate timeline of what happened during and after his date with Grace on December 1st. So let's go over the actual timeline of events. At 5:45 p.m., Grace and Jesse met at Sky City and went to Andy's Burger Bar on the upper level, just as he had originally described. However, this is the only truth told about his time with Grace. At 7:14 p.m., Jesse and Grace left Sky City. Instead of parting ways with a kiss on the cheek, they walked across the street to a Mexican restaurant where Grace ordered a sangria with mint. They sat in the corner and spoke about the other people in the restaurant, imagining their lives. Grace is also pictured showing early signs of affection towards Jesse, like putting her hand on the small of his back. This is also when Grace texted her friend Amina, stating that Jesse was the manager of an oil company. Jesse denied telling that to Grace. However, Jesse's a fucking liar, and he probably most certainly did. And it also later be discovered that he also lied frequently about his employment to many other women and just people in general. At 8:27 p.m., Jesse paid for their drinks, which included two margaritas and Grace's sangria, in addition to the drinks that they had at Andy's Burger Bar. Safe to say that the couple was getting pretty drunk at this point, and it wasn't their last stop of the evening. At 8:30, they arrived at the Bluestone Room, a busy bar on Durham Lane. They settled in at a high top near the front of the bar and began passionately kissing and speaking intimately. At 9:01, Jesse bought a round of tequila shots, which they knocked back. And at some point, Jesse got up to use the restroom, which is when Grace likely sent her final text to Amina. At 9:20 p.m., Grace got up to use the restroom. During this time, Jesse is seen on CCTV footage, picking up her purse and rifling through the contents. What a dirtbag.
That is like the craziest, not the craziest part, but like just seeing that on.
Says so much.
It says so much, especially when like she just texted her friend saying like, "We click so well, like this guy rocks, yada, yada, yada." And the moment she leaves him alone with her things, he's like, "I gotta go through her shit."
What the fuck?
Like what, from your guys' perspective, Janelle Kendall, like what if you found out a guy that you were dating was rifling through, that you had just met, by the way, was just rifling through your purse?
I would unmatch him on Tinder too, immediately, and get away from him. What the fuck?
Creepy. Is he trying to steal something? Is he trying to plant something? Is he Like, what if he puts a tracker in there or something, wants to track your location? I mean, there's so many things that he could do. It's just bizarre.
So she was in the bathroom?
Yeah, and this is all on camera.
Oh, my God.
Literally, all of this, they have camera footage of all of it. It doesn't look like that he actually grabs anything from the inside of the purse. But again, it's still proof that Jesse isn't just this simple, nice guy that he's presenting himself to be with police and to Detective Settle. You know, oh, I'm this oil manager. No. No, he's a scumbag. He's a complete scumbag.
It's a good reminder to especially when you're on a first date or just getting to know someone, to take your stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. While Grace was using the restroom, Jesse went on Facebook and left a comment on Grace's photo that would initially alert police to him. Jesse wrote, "Beautiful, very radiant." After leaving the bar, they were seen arriving at City Life at 9:40 p.m. Jesse had his arm around Grace's shoulder and she held his hand. They entered the lobby and rode the elevator to the third floor. And this is the last time Grace is seen alive on CCTV. The following account is a mixture of Jesse's own story and evidence collected from his phone in the hours after Grace entered his room, because, of course, there's no CCTV footage from the room itself. So this is how Jesse explains it. He explained this portion to Detective Settle during the second interrogation, and he explained that by this point, the alcohol had started to kick in, and he said, "We were kissing, we were talking and kissing more." Jesse said that Grace had asked him if he had heard of 50 Shades of Grey.
"To me about 50 Shades of Grey, which is a sex fantasy movie that's out. We started having sex. At first it was just normal. It was very placid. And then she asked me if we could get into bondage. And then all I remember is falling asleep in the shower."
What? He fell asleep in the shower?
Yeah. One thing led to another. They started having consensual sex. She wanted to do bondage and other things. And then they started doing that. That all happened. And then he just, when they were done, went to the shower, fell asleep.
And we do know that she had expressed interest to her friends in light BDSM. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And that when she had done it in the past, it was very safe with partners who were understanding.
Consenting.
And everything.
Safe words and everything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So not only is the fact that Jesse mentioned, you know, what he did immediately after, but during this part of the interrogation, it's very clear by the things that he's saying that he is building up a defense, because he chose his words very carefully. He's very meticulous about how he described this interaction happening. If you're still paying your friends back with cash, or maybe you're really old and still writing checks, you need to throw all that away right now. Well, not the cash, but the cash in your Cash App account. But you need to be using the Cash App for all of your financial transactions. It's the safest, easiest way to send money, and it's cool. Let's be honest, Cash App is just cool to have. If you don't have Cash App, you're kind of lame. And I didn't have Cash App for a long time, and now I do. Now I'm cool. And maybe you're somebody who's already using Cash App daily. Maybe you're already using the Cash App card. And now Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend, called Cash App Green. It unlocks new ways for you to pay, get rewarded, and easily grow or manage your money on your terms. Now, when you spend at least $500 a month with a Cash App card or Cash App Pay, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like up to $200 of free overdraft coverage, higher borrow limits, and custom personalized cashback offers every Friday at places you love to shop. Turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today or visit cashapp.new to learn more about this and other great features launching now. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code CASHAPP10 in their profile at signup, and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank. Member FDIC. Cash App Green. Overdraft coverage. Borrow. Cashback offers. Promotions provided by Cash App. A blocking corp brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. He also explained that Grace asked him to take intimate photos of her on his phone. This is also being used to cover up something Jesse would do later. So he says this as well. He said that Grace eventually asked him to squeeze her neck harder before they finished having sex. Jesse explained that he immediately after sex took a shower and then passed out in the bathroom. And then hours later, he woke up and returned to the bed. And when he did, he thought that Grace had left the room. And it wouldn't be until the morning after he actually woke up that he found her lying on the floor, unresponsive, and by this point, deceased in his room.
That's his story.
That's his story, yeah. But this was also a lie because they started looking through his Google search history on his phone and they discover that, no. After he said all this happened, he didn't just go pass out and fall asleep in the bathtub. He was on his phone making Google searches.
Mm-hmm.
And his Google searches are pretty damning.
I guess they're about cleaning and shit like that.
At 1:29 a.m., he searched for the Waitakere Ranges, which is a heavily forested area about 40 minutes west of Auckland. We'll come back to this here in a minute. Then at 1:31 a.m., Jesse searched Hottest Fire.
Hottest Fire?
Mm-hmm. Which, why would he be searching about Hottest Fire at like 2 a.m. in the morning? Was it potentially to try to figure out how to dispose of Grace's body?
Very clear that that's what it was.
Then it gets worse. Immediately after this, Jesse accessed several porn sites.
What?
Yes.
Fucking freak. Are you kidding me? Disgusting.
By this point, Grace is likely already deceased on his floor.
Oh my God. That is so horrific. And for her family to hear, my God.
Then between 1:45 a.m. and 1:49 a.m., Jesse took several naked photos of Grace.
Oh my God.
And in these photographs, she appears to be deceased. Investigators describe them as trophy photos.
Oh, this guy is horrible.
Yeah.
And with the amount of blood spatter, I'm sure it was not a pretty scene that he was taking photos of. Oh my God.
Yeah. And so around the blood, he says that her nose was bleeding. Is what he says about the blood. Like, that's where the blood was coming from. That when he woke up,
dude,
her nose was bleeding.
Okay.
And that's where all of this blood came from.
Uh-huh. So much so that it seeped into the concrete.
Right. But then it sure as hell doesn't seem like he got a wink of sleep that night. Because at 6 a.m., so we're now at 6 a.m., he searched the terms rigor mortis and extra large bags. So that tells you very clearly this motherfucker never went to sleep.
No.
He was up all night trying to figure out how he's going to get rid of Grace's remains.
And doing who knows what else.
Yeah, who knows what else. But of course, during his interrogation, Jesse does not disclose these Google searches and claimed that he slept through the entire night and that, I just woke up and there she was.
And let me guess, he tried to delete them off his phone.
No, I don't think he was even dumb enough or smart enough to do that.
Oh, didn't even try?
No.
Wow.
I think he literally thought that they were going to buy his story. Well, let's watch a little bit more of this here.
I need to stop. I need to go.
Would you like some fresh air?
Yeah, please. I was in shock. And I didn't know what to do. I went downstairs. And I was just, I was all over the place. And I didn't believe what had happened. I was just terrified and scared. I thought that she had gone. I thought she had left.
Pathologist, specialist doctor will perform a placement.
So from that clip, you can kind of hear and see that he's just trying to set up this narrative of poor me, for one. You know, I woke up and we had this time and, you know, I just had no idea that it got this far. And you know, I was just as shocked as you are to find out that she was deceased on my floor. And, you know, he's trying to put on the whole crying act and everything. And I love that the detective settles just like, clearly not buying it whatsoever. So back to the timeline here. At 7:51 a.m., Jesse messaged another woman on Tinder to see if their date for that afternoon was still on. After this, this motherfucker's like, I'm going to go on another Tinder date.
God, he is sick and probably wanted to do the same thing to her.
Then he left City Life to walk to a shopping mall only a few blocks away where he bought the suitcase investigators would later find on the CCTV. He then returned to his hotel, as seen in the footage discovered by investigators during their first interview. He then explained that he tried to take his own life using medication, but we have no proof of that whatsoever. Jesse said, I was just in shock the whole time. I couldn't put her in it because it just didn't seem right. So I left Grace half in, half out of the suitcase. At 8:35 a.m., Jesse once again left his apartment and walked to a nearby supermarket. While there, he purchased several items, including cleaning powder, a pack of small gloves, and some gum. And then he returned back to the hotel again at 8:40 a.m. At 10:33, he got a taxi, which took him to the Apex car rental. There, he rented a small red car for 24 hours before parking it outside of the hotel. And then at some point, he Googled flesh-eating birds and are there vultures in New Zealand.
Oh my God, this guy is sick.
Diabolical, man. Then at 2:53 p.m., he left City Life again to meet with this unnamed Tinder date at the Revelry Bar. Aside from the circumstances being very strange, the woman would later say that Jesse brought up that he was friends with several police officers and kept talking about a man who killed a woman during rough sex before he was convicted of manslaughter. Jesse said, it's crazy how guys can make one wrong move and go to jail for the rest of their life. He's saying this during like a Tinder date to a woman. How uncomfortable would that date be? She's like, what the
It's horrific.
Yeah.
Well, and also there's the lie of him saying, I'm friends with a lot of police officers, so if you keep talking to me, there might be a chance I get a call from cops or whatever. Like, he's trying to throw off and create defenses for what he did the night prior at every occasion he possibly can.
God.
He's meticulously trying to plan his cover-up. After he left the state, which the woman was like, got out of there, luckily, she just ended up, they said goodbye. They went their separate ways, but she made it very clear that she feared Jesse. She knew something was not right with this guy. After he left the date, he then proceeds to rent a rug doctor, so one of those carpet cleaners, for an hour to go and clean up the room, which makes sense why everything was mashed down in the carpet. One of those heavy carpet cleaners kind of trying to extract it, but sometimes it makes it worse. And it's like thin hotel carpet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I'm like, nobody at the hotel's like, sir, why are you hauling up a rug doctor to your room? And I think this is one of those long-term stay places so people could live there for 6 months, a year or whatever.
So I guess
and so they wouldn't question it per se, but kind of odd.
Or they didn't see him doing it.
And then the rest of the day, not entirely sure what he does. It's likely in his room, packing things up, figuring out what his game plan is going to be. Because then at 9:26 p.m., he went down to the hotel lobby, grabbed a luggage cart, and then took that up to his room. And then he's later seen wheeling it out of his room with two suitcases on it, one of which being the gray one he had purchased earlier in the day. He then placed the bags in the rental car before he parked the vehicle further away. He left the bags inside the car throughout the entire evening. Afterwards, Jesse went back to the supermarket to purchase additional gloves and stain remover. At 6:14 a.m., Jesse began driving this rented vehicle towards the Waitakere Ranges. On the way, he was seen purchasing a red shovel and four bolts, likely to try to make his shovel purchase look less suspicious.
Four bolts and a shovel.
Yeah.
The shovel doesn't help at all. It makes it look...
Again, all captured on camera as well.
What a dumb...
Mm-hmm. Then after that, he drops off CCTV footage for several hours. Then Jesse is seen returning to the City Life Hotel at 9:30 a.m., entering his room barefoot before dropping off bags at a dry cleaner. This dude has his like pant legs rolled up barefoot, running through like the hotel parking lot into the hotel.
He's such a freak.
Then he's captured on camera taking this rental car to the car wash to wash off the car, to hose it down. And then he leaves that shovel that he bought on his way to the Waitakere Ranges at the car wash, just like randomly in there.
On purpose?
Yeah. So that way he's disposing evidence.
Oh my God. What?
Which is crazy. I'm like, he doesn't realize there's cameras everywhere.
And he really thought he was going to get away with this.
That's what it seems like. Because then after he returns the car, he goes and buys an identical suitcase to the one that he put Grace in to have that like, oh, you can go pull the suitcase out of my room, knowing that they're gonna see the suitcase and they're gonna want the suitcase. He gets another one.
Oh, he thought he was really smart.
Really smart. Yep.
Yeah, he is one of those people who thinks they're just a genius and are gonna trick people, but everything they do is stupid as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Then after police first contacted him on December 5th, Jesse made an unknown trip to a ferry at Mission Bay, While he never stated why he did this, investigators have suggested that this is where he could have disposed of Grace's belongings. Mm-hmm. So potentially phone, other personal belongings of hers. He went out in the middle of the water to dump them overboard. Which this leads us to Jesse's first interview and then to his second, where he finally confessed after investigators presented all the information to him. Let's take a look at that.
Oh boy.
Perform post-mortem. Yeah. They're very skilled at establishing people's causes of death. Do you understand that? Did you kill Grace Mullane? Okay. You're under arrest for the murder of Grace Mullane on or about the 2nd of December. You understand?
Yeah.
The whole interrogation footage is all.
Where is it available?
There's a documentary that came out on this case.
It's called The Lie, The Murder of Grace Mullane.
And they have the whole uncensored interrogation footage in there. It's very chilling, honestly, just to watch him go through all of this.
Does he look shocked or does he look like...
Not really. He just kind of looks like he's still kind of keeping up with the I didn't do it type of vibe. Like he's like, wasn't me. I didn't kill her. Still sticking by his defense that this was an accident. If there's one part of the body that we tend to ignore, it's our liver. Our liver does so many different functions. In fact, it works 24/7 and does over 500 functions. And there's so many things that are kind of detrimental to your liver. I love a good beer and a pizza every day, if I could. But I can't, because it's not healthy for me. And I know that. But I love that Dose has created something that is amazing for helping your liver recover and be stronger than ever. Dose for Your Liver is a clinically backed liver health supplement. And what I love is it's not just another capsule or powder. It's an actual liquid supplement. It's taken in a daily 2-ounce shot and it tastes like fresh squeezed orange juice. It's a beautiful, rich orange color and it does absolutely taste like orange juice. And Dose, what it does is that it cleanses the liver of unwanted stressors that's slowing your liver down, preventing it from working at full capacity. It promotes daily liver function so your liver can do its job. There's zero sugar, zero junk, zero calories, and it's going to help your liver work better than ever, which in turn helps your body create more energy, helps your digestion, your fat metabolism, vitamin storage, etc. It helps in so many different ways because your liver helps make these processes happen every day, and sometimes it needs a little help in hand. You know, if you're hard on your liver, give your liver a little, lend it a hand with a Dose shot. You might be asking yourself, well, Josh, what if I start drinking Dose daily? Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to reduce the sluggishness you feel, the brain fog. It's going to get rid of those midday crashes and support your metabolism and even aid your daily digestion. All very important, especially as you get older. Help your body out. Help your liver out. So if you're ready to solve the mystery of why you've been feeling off, check out dosedaily.co/milehigher or enter milehigher to get 35% off your first subscription. Your body does so much for you, let's do something for it. That's dosedaily.co/milehigher for 35% off your first month subscription. But at the end of the day, what's important to note is that regardless of what happened to Grace, we just put that aside for a second. It's very obvious that Jesse went through great lengths to attempt to cover up her death.
Mm-hmm.
And hide her body, hide all evidence, dispose of all evidence, and ultimately get away with murder. I mean, who does the things that he did if this was truly an accident?
Right. Yeah.
No. And that's like something that we see come up from prosecutors of like, we will never know for sure what happened in that hotel room. Only Jesse knows what mm-hmm, happened. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, everything he did after that we have footage of does not lead one to believe that this was accidental in any way, shape, or form, or that he cares at all about the fact that this poor girl is now dead.
Well, I think it also says a lot that, you know, shortly after it happened, if you had accidentally killed someone, would you start looking up porn? Like, who would do that?
It's diabolical. It's like, and hot as fire and trash bags and starting to come up with the plan of, I'm going to now go dump her body in the fort, bury her in the middle of the forest somewhere.
Yeah.
And dispose of her.
Which I think you could a little bit more argue that it was an accident with those things. But the porn to me is the final like nail in the coffin of no one accidentally does something like that. And then it's all, it seems like it was part of his sick fantasy. Like he planned it all out to kill her.
Interesting that you're, that's how you're perceiving it, because there's a lot more evidence to back that up we get further on here. But at this point, he's under arrest for the murder of Grace Mullane. And they're like, now you're going to take us to where she is. And so on December 9th, Jesse led police to the Waitakere Ranges, where he buried her body in that same gray suitcase that we saw pictured in the CCTV footage. Ugh. He literally dug a hole and put the suitcase in the ground.
Good afternoon. Since early this morning, we've had a scene examination underway here in the section of bush behind me. This area was identified late last night as a location of interest as a result of our investigative work. I can now advise that a short time ago, we located a body which we believe to be Grace. The formal identification process will now take place. However, based on the evidence we have gathered over the past few days, we expect that this is Grace. Obviously, this brings the search for Grace to an end. It is an unbearable time for the Mullane family, and our hearts go out to them.
Ugh.
And that's the Detective Inspector Scott Beard, who would later say that he grew very close to the Mullanes throughout this whole experience, and that in that clip, he had literally just told David, Grace's father, that they had found her body and then immediately went to do that press conference, which is why he's still shooken up.
It's horrible.
That would be like, and for this beautiful girl with this amazing future ahead of her to be, to, for the end of her life to be like that and then end up in a suitcase.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fucked up.
Horrifying. A medical examination was done of Grace's remains, and the pathologist officially determined that Grace had died from sustained pressure to the neck. Her funeral was held on January 10th, 2019, and her brothers and father were pallbearers as hundreds paid their respects at the Brentwood Cathedral in Essex. Then, only a few days later, on January 16th, Jesse Kempson officially entered a plea of not guilty in the murder of Grace Mullane. And the trial itself would not begin till months later on November 4th, 2019. But this guy was like, I am not guilty.
No shock there. Crimes. Yep.
So when it comes to the trial, aside from the evidence collected from the CCTV footage in Jesse's room at City Life, they also provided testimony from former roommates and victims of Jesse's lies and, of course, sexual violence. For one, before living at City Life, Jesse had moved in with a group of women. He told them he was a successful entrepreneur from Australia and often boasted about his successful family. However, he was soon kicked out of the house after he missed several rent payments and made his roommates feel unsafe when he would drink. In reality, Jesse was born in Lower Hutt, Australia in 1991. In 2013, he left his family behind after tensions had boiled over about his lying. So he literally got kind of exiled by his family because he has a pathological lying problem. So it sounds like he's been lying his way through life for a long time. The other witnesses who could shed light on Jesse's behavior were his exes, who had been physically and sexually abused by him. His first ex, with whom he lived in 2017, explained that Jesse constantly borrowed money despite still maintaining his entrepreneurial lie. Eventually, she let him move in with her, which is when the violent abuse began. Things reached a head when she returned one night to find Jesse passed out on the couch. When he woke up, he told the woman, I have been sent here by the CIA to kill you. You are going to die today. You are going to die.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
God, this guy is out of his mind.
He then chases her around the house with a knife, then held her in a chokehold before he forced her into sexual acts.
Oh my God.
Repeating that he would kill her and her family. He would later say this was due to taking drugs on an empty stomach, but the woman said in court, a piece of me died that night and I lost my fighting spirit.
Oh, how terrifying. Traumatizing. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's a maniac. No one in his life cares about it seems, too.
There was also an additional woman who said that after a Tinder date, Jesse took her back to the hotel room where he'd been living in a manner eerily similar to his date with Grace. While there, he forced the woman to do sexual acts with him and nearly suffocated her.
So this wasn't the first.
No.
Maybe the first time killing someone, but yeah, I mean, it seems like how natural he was able to just do all this so nonchalantly and look up porn after that. Yeah, he's probably done this similar things before.
Yep. You know? Further testing that was done by forensics during the investigation indicated that there was no male DNA underneath Grace's fingernails, which might have indicated a struggle, and that her blood alcohol content was 2 times the legal limit. However, decomposition could have lowered that number since the time of her death. So it's very it's clear from that that she was intoxicated during the encounter.
Yeah.
So that brings up the question of, was this consensual even or not? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what happened once they got behind closed doors.
Right.
Like, it just, I think it further disproves his story and makes you not believe his story at all. You know, there's not even a shred of truth in there potentially.
Right. With all this, what was Jesse's defense? This is what's called a so-called 50 Shades defense, where the defendant claims that it was an accidental death due to a sex game gone wrong. And we know that Jesse likely figured this out through a Google search in the hours beforehand, because he literally said to Detective Settles, have you ever seen 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh,
like, right. He's name-dropping what the defense is officially called. And it's extremely controversial, with numerous groups like We Can't Consent to This, stating that it places the blame on the female victims for essentially consenting to their own deaths and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And this was even the case in Jesse's own defense, as his previous victims of abuse were hounded by his lawyers, asking if they had consented to their treatment by Jesse and if they were only speaking up due to the high-profile nature of Grace's case. So essentially, like, not only does the 50 Shades defense, because it is, you know, it's happening behind closed doors, and the only person's word we can have on it is Jesse's or whoever the perpetrator is, it also means that during the trial, the problem with it is, like, if they bring any previous victims of abuse out, the defense has the go-ahead to start poking holes in their story and, like, essentially re-traumatizing them.
Yeah.
So it's a very controversial defense.
And it was insane in this trial.
Really?
The defense attorneys for Jesse were brutal to the victims of his.
Oh my gosh.
Literally victim shaming them right there in the courtroom, like, hardcore though.
Humiliating them and trauma. Oh.
Basically being like, this happened because mm-hmm. it's your fault.
Right.
You allowed this to happen. You wanted to be a part of this. Also bringing up the fact that Grace, saying that Grace liked BDSM. She was the one who gave him permission to do it.
Yeah.
And they were totally going that route with it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've never actually heard it called the 50 Shades defense.
And, you know, we hear of it often, right? Especially in cases similar to this, especially with online dating cases. But there are numerous articles and also groups that are, like, trying to get it banned as a defense.
It should be.
Like, thrown out just wholesale.
Yeah.
So luckily, in this case, it didn't stick. Aside from the whole situation being very upsetting that they would even try to pull this, the pathologist determined that Grace's death resulted from 5 to 10 minutes of continued pressure on her neck. And given the nature of Jesse's Google searches and trophy photos after her death, it was clear to everyone that this was no accident.
Yeah, that's another huge reason. I forgot about that, too.
The naked photos of her. Yeah. For deceased, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, he's clearly a sadistic fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
complete, enjoying it.
He's completely into sexual sadism. He's totally into that. It's very clear.
Yeah.
From that, yeah. So, like, that does not add up. To try to have the audacity to say this was an accident gone wrong is just despicable. There is nothing here that indicates that. When you look at every subsequent action Jesse made after this supposed accident happened, any normal, decent human being would have stopped everything they were doing and called emergency services right then and there.
Of course.
And that did not happen.
Josh.
What?
Guess what? Guess what day it is?
It's Hungry Root Day.
It's Hungry Root Monday, baby. We get our Hungry Root delivered on
Monday.
It's
like Christmas.
It is. We love getting our
Rip
Hungry
open
Root
the
box.
Package.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly's look at all the delicious pumped. Food.
Calls it Hungry Toot.
We call it Hungry Toot now at our house because of Holly.
Really?
Yeah, John's called it Hungry Toot last night.
It's an iconic name.
It's great.
Brilliant.
But if you want dinner on the fly that's still good, nutritious, and easy to cook up, Hungry's got you covered.
Today we are getting sweet vodka sauce, chicken, garlic, sausage, rigatoni. That's our daughter's favorite.
Oh, that one's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Love that one.
Also, the lemon pepper chicken and cheesy broccoli. That's one of your favorites.
That's one
Holly
of my favorites.
Does love it too. So it is very good.
The chicken is sous vide, so it's already cooked, and it's just been in this marinade, this lemon pepper marinade for who knows how long.
They're sous vide.
Throw it in the
proteins.
Oven, and you just kind of heat it up in the oven, crisp it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's really good. I know, I never thought I would really like sous vide proteins until I started using Hungry Root, because we also get their sous vide chicken. That's what we have on our list this week as well. The extra quick chicken Caesar salad, which we like to bring into work.
Yeah, with the chili limon.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
It's good.
It's so good. We also got some groceries. We got sun butter and jam dippers. Holly likes those. Organic cashew butter, dark chocolate, teriyaki chicken snack sticks, another favorite of Holly's, and then low sugar sour gummies.
Ooh.
I know. I got those for you this time. Thought you could check them out. So if you are a busy parent or busy person, just, you know, we all are busy, right? It will be such a game changer to do your weekly grocery shopping and meal planning with Hungry Root. Hungry Root allows you to eat well and reach your diet and health goals, whether you're gluten-free, dairy-free, high-protein, focused on gut health, or anything else. Just take a quick quiz, and their smart cart technology recommends recipes and ingredients that are tailored to your tastes and needs. And unlike other food delivery companies, Hungry Root now has over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes to choose from each week. 50,000 options each week. With many ready in just 15 minutes or less. That's why we love it too. I mean, the food is amazing, but how quickly
it comes
we
together.
Can get those yeah. meals. Yeah, it's really nice.
It truly is like a 15-minute dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them take 15 minutes or less.
So
it's
easy.
It's crazy easy. Mm-hmm. It's good quality. It's better than takeout. It's less expensive.
Yeah.
Better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Better ingredients.
And Hungry Root holds all its food to high standards, screening out over 200 additives, including high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. They only source high-quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics. So check it out, you guys, and take advantage of this exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/milehigher and use code milehigher. That's hungryroot.com/milehigher, code milehigher, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
And also, a 5 to 10 minute long accident, like he's holding that pressure for 5 to 10 minutes.
He would have saw her literally go unconscious.
Yeah.
At that point, you stop everything you're doing.
I bet he had planned to do this going into it, or like wanted to do this to someone eventually, and it just finally.
Some like fantasy of his?
Yeah. That's my.
Because it does seem like he had it pretty meticulously planned, even though it was dumb because of the cameras being around. But all these actions,
but yeah,
you know what I mean? That he had, I'll rent a car. I'll go bury the body. How will I get the body out of my room without people seeing it?
Yeah.
All of these things.
I think
that,
some thought went into it ahead of time, even though he's an idiot. Yeah. Wow. I mean, just how shameful to try and put that on her too at the end.
When there's literally there's so much evidence against him.
Yeah.
And literally none other than she had mentioned being into BDSM and that's
it. Fucking monster.
And if she was into BDSM and all the texts and her friends indicated that she knew safe words, she knew how to actively engage in it in a safe manner that would never lead to something like this.
Right. Of course.
But his two male defense attorneys made sure of it that the women were blamed for it. That was a women's fault that this happened.
Yep.
So after 3 weeks of the trial, the jury returned a guilty verdict. There was
unanimous.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, it was quick. And Jesse Kempson was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum non-parole period of 17 years.
Well, that's
for the murder of
Grace
Mullane.
Good to see New Zealand, you know.
Yeah, I was honestly so impressed with New Zealand. And just the way that they handled this case from start to finish, even the court system, you know, they still have a very similar system to what we have with the jury and the, you know, being able to have a defense, prosecutors, punishment. This case was massive, though. I didn't realize like how big of a case this was there. This was national news.
Think of how rare it is.
Yeah.
Something like this happening.
The Prime Minister of New Zealand literally made a whole said her own apologies for to the Mullane family, that she was completely shocked by this and how could this have happened.
I've even heard of this case. I never looked into the details, but I've seen it requested many times.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
But things only got worse for Jesse. He would receive two additional convictions for the rape and abuse of the other women who came forward after Grace's death.
Good.
So he got justice came for him, and they
good.
They got him.
He should never have another free day in his life. What a fucking dying.
And just what's also just so dangerous about him is the way he presents himself. Yeah. He reminds me of like, he gives out that serial killer personality.
Totally.
Like, you'd almost never know because he's kind of decent looking. He seems like he's got it together. Like he wouldn't have, you know, these types of interactions with.
Just the way he speaks and like kind of carries himself too. Yeah.
But sadly, in November 2020, Grace's father, David, passed away due to leukemia. A diagnosis he had received after returning to England. So after he got back of the conclusion of his daughter's case, he found out he had leukemia and then died in November of 2020.
Oh, that's horrible.
Which is just, this poor family.
God, they've been absolutely through so much.
Just went through this horrible thing and then they lost David. Grace's mother, Jillian, and her cousin, Hannah O'Callaghan, created the Love Grace charity, which provides handbags and toiletries to victims of domestic abuse. As of December 2023, the group had donated 15,600 handbags in the United Kingdom and around the world.
It's so awesome. I've seen similar things to this here in the States. Wow.
Yeah, very cool. In 2024, both Jillian and Hannah were appointed officers of the Order of the British Empire for their charitable services. But still, the pain of losing her daughter while she was supposed to be on a trip of a lifetime lives with Jillian and the Mullane family forever, of course. And another thing I want to bring up too that's pretty badass was Grace's mother actually climbed Mount Everest.
Oh, wow.
In honor of Grace.
Was it, this is not for the, was it Everest or Kilimanjaro? Did she do both?
She did both, I'm pretty sure. She completed Everest trek in 2024.
Wow. Love Grace is really cool too, because they allow people to donate handbags and then they fill them with toiletries.
Yeah.
I love that. What a way to repurpose bags.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, she climbed Kilimanjaro and Everest, I believe.
That's amazing.
Because she was like, I'm going to go finish what my daughter started, you know?
Good for
her.
Go see the world. Wow, that's incredible.
But we're going to end this episode with some words from Grace's parents here.
You'll have to forgive me because I'm not very good at this. The verdict of murder today will be welcomed by every member of the Mullane family and friends of Grace. It will not reduce the pain, the suffering that we've had to endure for over the past year. I can't see it. Grace was taken away from us in the most brutal fashion a year ago, and our lives have been, and family have been ripped apart. This will be with us for the rest of our lives. Grace was a beautiful, talented, loving daughter. Grace was our sunshine, and she will be missed forever. She did not deserve to be murdered in such a barbaric way on her only year. We would like to thank several people. Auckland Police Force, been professional, diligent and thorough all through this investigation. A special thank you to Detective Inspector Scott Beard, Detective Senior Sergeant Greg Brand and Detective Tony Jordan. We would like to thank the Crown Prosecution Team, Brian, Robin and Lita. They never flinched away from the more intimate details of the case and were compassionate and thoughtful where the family matters arose. The press contingent, you lot, who attended court every day with my wife and I and reported truthfully, respectfully, all events as they unfolded. Last but not least, we would love to thank the people of New Zealand. They've opened their hearts to Grace and her family. I cannot express our gratitude enough for all the offers and gifts of kindness that we have received over the last year. Finally, we must return home and try and pick up the pieces of our lives and day to day with our beloved Grace. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Gut wrenching.
That is horrific.
God. Horrible, horrible thing that should have never happened.
What a strong and amazing family, though. Wow. All because of one selfish, sick fuck. Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah. This guy was clearly dangerous. He had repeated patterns of violence shown throughout the different relationships that he had. And I think he took advantage of this opportunity that he had to do the thing that he had always wanted to do. But yeah, ugh, just so horrible, man. We want to know your thoughts, of course. Maybe you're a listener down in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something you remember from when this happened. Let us know. But that's going to be it for us today. Appreciate you for being here with us. Of course, we'll be back next week with another one. We'll see you then.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.